Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
How's it going?
It goes well.
Yes. Yes, another week, another Not a Thing podcast.
Hey.
I would do a fanfare in here, but we have a theme. We don't need to do a
like, yeah, the fanfare has already happened.
Yeah, we don't need the trumpet fanfare. It's good.
Unless we're going to record this as a prologue and then stick it before the theme song and then start again. But that would be different.
I don't know. How would I intro it on the... See, we'd have to have a whole new patter for, like, starting the show off with a with an intro. Maybe once we get a sponsor, we'll consider getting an intro. We'll figure this out. But one step closer to potentially getting a sponsor, we have to put out the big announcement noise this week. Because we have a logo.
Woohoo!
Yay! For those of you that liked our text-based logo,
too bad
that you'd see in the album art if you get it through iTunes. We are replacing it. We combed through the many, so many logo submissions, and settled on one.
Yes.
So
Done
it's
by artist Skylar DeWitt of Sonoma County.
Excellent. And
California.
So we're gonna be putting that logo on our album art. We'll probably slide it into the website somewhere and maybe more things. We don't know. We're considering putting it on swag.
There's swag potential.
Yes. I think your words were when you saw the logo, the first feedback was like, "This would look badass on a shirt," and
I still hold to that. it will potentially.
Yes, hopefully, I'll wear a shirt. I'm just excited.
I try to wear a shirt often, actually.
Yeah. We can get like temporary tattoos or
that's a thing that you can like make temporary tattoos.
I'm sure you can. Yeah, it's just ink.
I guess that makes sense.
Pretty sure you can. That would be I don't know if you can like home print them.
If we make it to 100 episodes, we'll get a real tattoo.
Whoa. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
I was joking. Maybe.
Oh, we'll see. On the internet forever now.
It will be up for discussion at 100 episodes.
So everyone, stay tuned for another 69 episodes. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But big thanks. We love our logo. We'll put it everywhere, and we'll keep everyone appraised of how you can get the logo on something really cool, hopefully real soon.
Beware, Facebook feeds, you're about to get plastered in logos.
Oh, Facebook. Facebook just changed their search to do the graph search. Have you tried that yet?
No.
Yeah, me neither. But I think part of the problem is it's based on... it shows like the connections between what you like and what your friends like and stuff like that. And I don't, it sounds like I'm a hater, but I don't like anything on Facebook. And you can take that however you want, mostly because I know that most of the likes are just being used as metrics. The one thing I do like is the Not a Thing podcast, and I hope you do too. But, otherwise, I don't give them enough good data, probably to form a good picture of who I am.
Well, I think the majority, if they were to do a graph of my likes, the majority of them are probably things you've posted. So the Alan Meridian business is strong on Facebook. And by association, Not a Thing podcast, and by association myself.
Yes.
So I'm really just liking myself.
It's a mutual like kind of thing. We you know, there's some good stuff there for sure. We want to thank everyone that does like our podcast on Facebook and retweet our posts on Twitter and all that kind of good stuff, because social media is good. Getting the podcast out there is good. Tell a friend in real life. That's good too. We don't need to track it. It's okay. But it doesn't hurt for sponsorship, right? Right, Tesla? And who's going to be our sponsor last week? I forget.
I don't remember. I just had an idea for a contest we could run, or potentially just a segment we could do.
Oh?
It's not so much an auditory thing, because I know this is a podcast, but... Making use of social media, once the logo is released, we could do a contest where you slap the Not a Thing logo through Photoshop on things throughout history that should not have been a thing. Just have like a picture of the Hindenburg exploding and then bam, not a thing.
Oh, this is asking for a Tumblr blog if we want a different social media outlet. We'll have to consider this. Okay. We'll take this under advisement.
I'm just thinking out loud, people.
Yeah. Well, you should. I hope you would think out loud on our podcast. If you thought kind of internally only, it would be a very kind of quiet podcast. Anyway.
Like I'm doing right now. No.
Yes. Our first topic, and maybe you should introduce this one.
No. You go ahead.
Okay. All right.
I like how you say it.
So, Brendan found an article this week about kind of peripherally related to Assassin's Creed 4, which the trailer of which came out. And I don't think anything other than the trailer exists so far. Like, I don't think they've necessarily developed anything, because the... the technology was probably the Assassin's Creed 3 engine and everything. But one of the moments in the trailer is related to, or was there was some offense taken by PETA, or
PETA.
So the people for the ethical treatment of animals.
You mean the people for the ethical treatment of animals?
They took offense to a scene in the trailer where I guess there's whaling. And as you might guess, the game is a game. It's a fictional game
about pirates.
Right. It is, and you know, it's interesting that they chose to call this out. Especially given, I mean, maybe they made a complaint for Assassin's Creed 3 as well, but if I'm remembering correctly, in Assassin's Creed 3, killing and hunting and skinning and otherwise, you know...
dismembering animals.
Yeah, it's kind of a... not an integral part of the game, but it's definitely part of the game that you have to go through.
I have definitely reduced the number of rabbits in New England in that game.
I remember
much
the first time.
Much to the horror of my little sister, she hates it.
I think I air assassinated a rabbit.
Yeah.
It's like, that seems excessive to jump from a tree onto a rabbit to kill it. But, you know.
You can tomahawk bears, whatever.
it's kind of a brutal game. And I guess Assassin's Creed 4, it's not set on the. The Revolutionary War time Americas anymore. It's pirates, which I have to give you credit, Brendan. Episode 14 of the podcast, go back and listen to it, because you called.
I called that shit.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We were brainstorming on what should be the next installment or what would make a great game, and I said a pirate RPG, and it's not quite an RPG, but it's still close enough. I will enjoy the game, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. It does look good. I mean, I did like the ship kind of element of the game in Assassin's Creed 3. Certainly more than the tower defense aspect of the game in Assassin's Creed Revolutions. So you gotta start somewhere, I guess. But the complaint article was saying that, you know, they want to create an atmosphere where living in harmony with animals. And I understand that. I understand that, you know, we don't want people to come away with the feeling that you can mistreat animals. But at the same time, barring my thoughts on it, Ubisoft, the creators of the Assassin's Creed series, wrote a response press release, which I thought was especially good. I think my favorite line from it was that it doesn't specifically glorify the whaling aspect. It's just there because that's what happened, you know, historically around that. It does glorify it, and there was a little bit of snark in the way they wrote this. It was like, it does glorify the life of pirates, but we doubt that people are going to become pirates because of this game.
And go on whales because they played an Assassin's Creed game.
Although, I don't know, one could argue that, a lot of the gamers are actually pirates. But maybe in a different way.
I think the whales are safe. Unless you're pirating Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Ooh.
Then you are pirating and whaling.
But they were trying to prevent whaling in Star Trek IV.
Kind of.
Yeah. They were preventing the killing of the whales, but they had no problem kidnapping the whales.
They'd still go to jail for kidnapping.
Yeah, yeah.
Whale napping.
And especially because, like kidnapping a child versus kidnapping a whale. I mean, a whale is, like, huge, right? I mean, there's got to be some... The punishment for that's got to be pretty, pretty big. Although,
you
apparently...
You think PETA's going to sue the estate of... the author of Moby Dick because of its stance on whales?
I don't know if they would sue it, but they would probably
throw pain at it.
Right. Right. Draw a big frowny face on the whale on the cover, you know.
See, here's why I think it should be PETA instead of PETA, because if it is PETA, that makes them pedophiles.
Wow,
PETA files.
I had not even gone in that direction, and now I can't unthink that.
Because they like pets.
Well, no, I mean, even the press release is pedophiles complaint against blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and you stop listening after you hear pedophiles. Yeah, okay, all right, I can I can start calling it PETA. That works. That works. You've won me over.
Excellent.
But yes, so the stuff that PETA probably should be focusing on, that is the actual abuse of animals,
non-digital,
maybe should be a little more in the forefront than the abuse of fictional animals.
Yeah, how about stopping real whaling that actually goes on?
Yeah. Although
Japan.
Right. I would settle for stopping those ads with the Sarah McLachlan music that come on, you know, when I'm watching, like, the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes.
That are just, like, they're, like, double-length commercials. I swear, they're, like, a minute long, or they feel like they're at least double-length commercials. And it's just... If you want to look at animals that are horribly mistreated and, you know, you can't do anything about it, watch this ad. It makes you feel wonderful or something.
Not a thing.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
Agree. I feel like you can make a case without dragging people through that.
Or at least not during dinner time. I mean, they should, if they're gonna put that ad on, they need to put it on with, like, the adult chat line commercials after 11.
You need the palate cleanser after the...
Like, I hadn't thought of it that way, but that does make sense.
Like they used to do with Web Soup, you know, when they had like the thing you couldn't unsee, and then they would show like, you know, puppies hugging each other, and then you have the ad for the mistreatment of animals, and then objectification of women. Yes,
put all those things that shouldn't happen off in their own corner late at night, or just don't put them on TV. Both of those can just disappear. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's using the internet anyway. They shouldn't advertise on TV. Well, yes. But I think Assassin's Creed 4 should be a thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for it. I still haven't beaten Assassin's Creed 3. Have you?
No, I haven't. I kind of took a break. Started playing PC games again.
Yeah. Yeah, I took a break and started playing the Walking Dead game, which is good. It's good. It's a very different mindset, and I kind of like the cross training game wise. So that's been kind of fun. I remember when I used to play just so many games when I was a kid. Just like I would have, you know, five or six that I would just load up. But I think the barrier to playing was a lot lower when I was 5 or 6. Actually, I wasn't 5 or 6. I meant 5 or 6 games. I meant... Yeah, when I was 5 or 6, I think all we had was Asteroids and Star Raiders and Pac-Man. Oh, Atari. Okay, anyway, enough...
Atari what?
Enough talking about how old I am. Let's talk about something else.
Oh. Is that like some version of the ball and cup game?
Yeah, sure. There were... I spent the majority of my day today in a bunch of presentations. And I have to say, there's nothing that makes you appreciate like human contact more than watching presentations. I mean, human contact and conversation and interaction, because I don't know, man. They're, the presentations I was watching were not great. They were really, really quite bad indeed. Like this unwritten, or maybe it is written or codified somewhere, like list of things you shouldn't do in presentations, and I was seeing all of them today, so I'm gonna...
It was the greatest worst hits.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, there were a lot of things, right? There were filler words. Like, I know that I use apparently as a filler word when I'm talking. If I'm sure someone has gone back and listen to all the times I've said apparently, and
I'm sure someone hasn't, Alan.
Well, that makes me feel better, because maybe it's not that bad. But one of the speakers today, his filler word wasn't apparently, but obviously.
That's a much worse filler word,
right? Because apparently, at least gives you the sense that you're kind of skeptical about the information. Obviously, all that does is make your audience feel dumb. It's like, it's so obvious that I don't even have to say it, but I'm going to say it again right here, that, and then your point. And that, I don't know. It's one of those things that you shouldn't do when you're giving a presentation. Another thing that you shouldn't do is reading your slide. Oh, I learned to read at a very early age, and I like to be, I'm pretty proud of my ability to read.
Even if you learned at a late age, you still don't need to read the slide on the PowerPoint.
Right.
You could have learned last week and they still didn't need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a bunch of bad presentations and bad kind of setups. And I'm not here to embarrass, you know, who presented or what, but I just found it really rough, because we're just coming off of a pretty good presentation season of things. Like South by Southwest is this week. The TED Talk sessions were last week. And there's just lots of good presentations that are out there, if you're in a job where you are watching presentations or have to make presentations, definitely seek out good, really good ones, and not these death by PowerPoints that that I was in today. So I don't know, Brennan, do you have to deal with presentations ever?
Nope. I mean, I had in training, but that's, you know, training.
That's different. Yeah.
Actually, no, that's not true. We have at our monthly meetings, like company meetings, the CEO gets up and talks, and he has a PowerPoint, but it usually just has some figures on it, and that only takes like 15 minutes.
Right. Right. So I was in like hour-long PowerPoints, which is just egregious. There's no way you can even keep... I don't know how people were staying upright. I mean, there was one guy at a table near me who was kind of lolling backwards as he was as he was kind of falling asleep, which I... I think is just awful, but that added a little bit of joy for it for me. But otherwise, really, really not a thing. Please seek out something like there's a good book by I can't remember her first name. I want to say it's Emily
J.K. Rowling.
It might. I have to look it up. I might be wrong about the first name, but it's Nancy Duarte, and Nancy Duarte wrote a book. And I can't remember the name, unfortunately. But anyway, if you look up Nancy Duarte, she's written,
you know, spelled the usual way.
Yes, the usual way. she wrote two books that are about how to do good presentations, and one of them, I think she wrote for or with or otherwise helped Al Gore do the Inconvenient Truth presentation, which was eventually turned into, like, you know, the movie version of that presentation, which I mean, thoughts on global warming aside, or the veracity of global warming, it's a pretty compelling presentation. So I think that kind of stuff is good. The TED Talks are really, really good. If you look up, it's a Japanese phrase, which means like small talk or fast talk. I forget. It's pechakucha.
Karaoke?
Yeah, something like that. pechakucha is a style of presentation where all of your slides have no words and they're all up for like 30 seconds each. And there are only like 15 of them, so you're only up for 7.5 minutes, but you don't have any words on the slide, so you're never going to read them. And because they're up for 30 seconds each, it's more based around you talking and storytelling around the images than it is about hopefully boring people, which is
what they teach you in Calm One.
Yeah.
That if you give a 2-hour PowerPoint where you are reading from the slides, you should commit seppuku.
I wonder if that'll be... They should do that as a Assassin's Creed.
That would be the best finish ever. Yeah. To a presentation, just whips out a sword and bam.
Wow. That's impact.
Yeah.
Boom.
If only I could remember what they said at the beginning, because it was 2 hours ago. I know it would be important.
Yeah. So anyway, good presentations, do that. That should be a thing. Please. Or maybe no presentations.
I think we can definitely say death by PowerPoint, not a thing.
Okay. Okay. Oh. But yeah.
Obviously not a thing.
Touche. Very nice, very nice. that was great. I don't know where to go with there. One thing that came out of South by Southwest this week was there's a company that makes a plugin called Ghostery, which is a it's a web app, or rather a browser plugin that when you enable it, it will show you all of the things that you're going to besides the website that is actually in your URL. So, like, for example, if you go to, well, any web page, all of those ads are not local to whatever that web page is. They're wherever they are. So it will call out where all of the ads go. There's all sorts of stuff about tracking cookies that go into there. There are things called web beacons, which are just snippets of code that that exist as calls and tracking information for, you know, what site you go to next or came from or things like that. And it's really eye-opening to see, like, how many things show up when you click on it. And then it also gives you the option to block or limit access to, you know, those things. I mean, I think some of it is good and interesting, especially if it's within the company's website, because then they're using it to tell where you are, where you go, because it could be used to optimize that traffic. When it goes off to a third party, that's when I start to get a little weirded out, because a third party could see that, oh, you're looking at this site, and then when you go somewhere else that uses that same third party, it goes, oh, you came from here, even though you didn't click on anything to go from website A to website B. So it's just an interesting way to get paranoid.
Well, I think the fact that cookies are even called cookies is terrible. Cookies are awesome.
I agree. And I don't like that they're being maligned in such a way. And also the way you you get rid of cookies is called clearing your cookies, which I don't understand. You've kind of broken the metaphor of a cookie. Who clears cookies? What does that even mean?
They've got to be really bad cookies if you're going to clear them.
Right. It should be like throw away. Maybe not
it's
toss.
Like it's like the Halloween thing with razor blades and the candy apples.
It should be toss. It should be toss your cookies.
Yes. Get on it, internet. Make it a thing.
I'll write the congressman. The Mozilla. That's open source. I can just submit that as a change. Right. That's how open source works. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh man. Yeah, I think the Ghostery plugin is pretty cool. I don't necessarily believe in ad blocking, though. I mean, I think they have to figure out a way to monetize things. I'm not 100% sure that ads are the best way, mainly because they're
well, that just affects the dumb people who don't know how to use the internet.
Well, it mostly just clutters up the content, is what it does. I feel like there is probably a way to sell ad revenue space that has impact but is less intrusive about everything. But
that being said, if someone wants to sell ad space on our website, I'm totally for that.
We'll put it
I'm looking at you, stamps.com.
Right next to the logo. Right next to the logo. Everything will be fine.
Adam and Eve, not a thing podcast. What's the pro flowers? The ones that sponsor all the podcasts.
Oh, the not a thing fleshlight?
No. Oh, God. Not a thing. Not a thing, Alan.
Well, anyway.
Squarespace. Design your own website.
I think they would have to somehow persuade us to redesign our website using Squarespace before that made sense.
Well, I think they're associated with Hover, and we use Hover for our registration.
We do. That's a good point. But we don't use Squarespace to build.
Thanks to the Nerdist podcast and their sweet discount promo code from the advertising on that podcast.
Yes. It's all a big circle of fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of big circles of fun, I hear you saw Predator this weekend.
Nice segue. Yes, I did see Predator this week.
And by big circles of fun, I mean like, you know, holes cut in people by bullets. Yes, mostly.
Yeah. two governors, one movie.
Wow, I had not connected that because I had, after
Jesse Ventura.
After Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor, I went through a period of movie mourning in which I did not watch a single movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
It's because he started making terrible movies and was a terrible governor. I wanted none of what he was selling.
Oh, so that's really funny because when I graduated from college, I still got I was the last quarter at Cal Poly to get Gray Davis to sign the to sign the diploma because everyone after that was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ooh.
So that worked out for me, I think, maybe. Although I don't have a fancy autograph on my diploma.
It's vintage Gray Davis.
Yes, yes. Oh, the one who was recalled? Oh, man.
Who names their kid Gray?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's pretty boring. No offense to any Grays out there listening, but, I mean, come on.
Well, also, Gray Davis. It's such a... just kind of
the white
tone.
Whitey McWhiterson.
Oh, indeed. But anyway, let's go back to the movie Predator.
To Predator, yeah.
So it's interesting because if I'm remembering correctly, you watched the Predator movies in the opposite order. Is that right?
Well, not entirely opposite because the first one I saw was Predator 2. Or was it? Yeah, Predator 2. And okay. Then I saw Predators. All right. And then I saw Predator.
Okay.
So it was like worst to best.
Yeah, I agree.
Best for last.
I agree. That Predator 2 was definitely the worst one.
Not good.
Predators was essentially...
Predator.
Predator, yeah, pretty much. It was the same, almost the same movie. I mean, there was kind of... very,
well, there's
very
no
similar.
Space dogs and Topher Grace.
Less Danny Trejo. Topher Grace, more
crazy ass Lawrence Fishburne.
yeah. But I liked Predators a little. I liked it a fair amount, but not a lot. Only because of how much they had taken from the original movie, which I love. Love that movie. I remember watching it because I was, I haven't looked up how old it is, but I'm pretty sure I was not, I don't know, my parental guidance may have been a little poor in this area because I remember watching it definitely when I was too young and most definitely when my 4 years younger brother was watching it and he was way too young to watch it.
1987.
Okay.
June 1987, I was 1 year old.
Oh, man.
I was still crapping my pants when Predator came out.
So my brother was 6 when that movie came out, and I was some age after that. So anyway, I remember seeing a scene of it, the scene when the Predator jumps into the water. And then he comes out of the water, and it's the first time you actually get a good look at him. And it was a thing my dad wanted me to see because of the kind of effects involved, right? It was invisible, and then it was visible, and just the character design. I really liked the first Predator movie, only because there was so much mythos that they didn't... they weren't ever really explicit about. I mean, he is the Predator. That's what you kind of get over the course of it. But it's never like they don't ever say like, "Oh yeah, he's this guy that." Oh wait, no, there is a line when now that I think about it, when Arnold says, "This thing is hunting us," you know. But yeah. But anyway, I just thought it was a good good set of mythology and backstory without being so exposition heavy.
There's no exposition in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I will say it does feature spoilers here, everybody. It's 1987, if you haven't seen it yet. Well, I mean, I only saw it this week. So right. But I didn't feel bad if anything was spoiled for me. But it features the worst rescue in maybe the history of movies. Because Arnold and his badass team of badasses come cruising into this rebel camp to save these people, and they just shoot everything. They blow up everything, and they look around like, oh, the hostages are dead.
Well, to be fair, I think the last hostage died just as they got there, if I'm remembering correctly. He was killed during the, or just before the assault.
Right, but they didn't know that that was the last hostage. You don't go bombing in and just grenading everything.
There was a significant amount of grenading in that movie.
Unnecessary grenading.
Yeah, there was. But I liked how everyone on the team had their own like gun.
Right.
Right. So
and Jesse Ventura had the best gun.
Oh, well, Jesse Ventura had the minigun, and yeah. Mac had the kind of the M60 kind of bigger machine gun. Dylan had like the MP5 submachine gun, which I would not have chosen.
But... in a jungle? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
But and then Ramirez had the grenade launcher, which was awesome.
Right.
But yeah, it's like it's one of those. It's funny because I remember watching it with my brother, my younger brother, and he would say, you know, this is made for like action figures because they all have different guns. And they all, you know, they all have, like, this was when we were talking about this, this was when, like, they had just started adding motion to action figures. Like, you would squeeze their legs and, like, they would punch or something like that. And so we made up all of these actions for the different guys, like Mac. He would yell like no, you know, when his friend dies with his I can't remember Jesse Ventura's character's name, but when he died, spoiler alert, his like chest blows open from the shot, and so we're like, that's what we should make do. Like you push the little button on his back and his chest should blow open. Or wow, this I wonder if this messed my brother and I up at all.
Ah, you're fine.
It's probably okay.
Maybe. I gotta say though, the director John McTiernan has maybe one of the best three movies in a row of a director maybe ever.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Because he had 1987 Predator.
Yep.
1988 Die Hard.
Yep.
1990 The Hunt for Red October.
Yes. Yes, I have.
And then he made a bunch of shitty movies later in his career, but in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. I have pointed this out to a couple people when especially I think my point of entry for those is usually Die Hard, and then I kind of go in either direction.
Predator.
But yeah, I go Die Hard, Predator, Hunt for Red October, because I love all three of those movies, and they're like he directed the hell out of them. They're great.
But then his last movie he did was in 2003. I think he's either in jail now or on bail or something for some sort of perjury charge.
Whoops.
But his last movie, 2003, was Basic. Before that was 2002 Rollerball.
Wow.
And the Thomas Crown Affair remake.
Oh.
Actually, he made like 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 or 6 bad movies because, what, 93 was Last Action Hero. Then Die Hard with a Vengeance. Then The 13th Warrior. And then those last three. So
the 13th Warrior at least had the sequence when it was the Viking funeral, and then they had this whole chant about like, you know, I see my mother, I see my father, I see my, you know, all of the dead in their family, and then now I'll see my, you know, my friend blah blah who just died. I thought that was a good little Wow, I watched a lot of
Die Hard.
Did I watch a lot of John McTiernan movies?
Oh, I don't know. Have you seen all of them? Medicine Man?
I did not see Medicine Man. Wait, is that the one with Sean Connery? I did see that. Yeah. Yeah.
And Nomads is the only other one.
Oh, I didn't see Nomads.
I don't even know what that is. That one doesn't
ring a bell.
Pierce Brosnan, apparently.
Yes. Oh, that's weird. Thomas Crown Affair, also Pierce Brosnan. Hmm.
Yeah, he works with... I guess actors must like him. Because they work together. He worked with Bruce Willis and Sean Connery and pretty much Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So, Predator, good movie.
Yeah, watch it. It still holds up.
It does. The special
effects are great. Because they're practical effects.
Right. That's why. Exactly right. I would say that the Aliens versus Predator movies, however, maybe
not a thing.
Yeah, maybe want to Although, take a break.
What were we watching in Hawaii? Getting ready for a certain wedding? what was the last movie our friend saw as a single man?
Oh, it was the
Alien versus Predator.
The first one.
The first one.
Not the I don't even want to talk about the second one. That one's just disturbing.
The anti-baby movie.
Pretty much. Yeah. Anyway. Seen any other good movies lately?
Actually, I did. I really enjoyed Oz the Great and Powerful.
Well, that's good.
I had like zero expectations going into it. I thought, it's Sam Raimi. He's made some good movies.
Yeah, and
I like his style.
The thing that I was worried about was the Disney connection to it. Like, I was worried it was going to be very stylish looking, but not have enough depth in it. Because Disney can be hit or miss, at least for me, for live action stuff. We're not even going to talk about John Carter, which I thought was a great movie, but was mismarketed. I think we agree that all of the Pixar films are gold, but and I wonder how many of the Pixar people or technology went into the making of the movie.
I'm guessing a lot, because from the trailers I thought it looked really Tim Burton-y,
which
I'm not a fan of, and it was colorful, but it wasn't Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Like, the CGI looked good. I saw it in 3D. The 3D was all right. James Franco actually did much better than I thought he was going to do. There's minimal singing. There is a scene where the Munchkins are starting to sing, and James Franco is just like, hey, okay, that's enough. They didn't even get to finish their song. It's great. And he plays, a con man who is chasing women pretty much the whole movie. He's quite the ladies' man.
Okay, I think...
Which
I
you
think
would not expect from a movie like this.
Right. But I think that's a good way to play that, because it I think that still respects the I don't know who directed it, but the Wizard of Oz kind of movie.
Well, there was enough like little Easter egg hints thrown in, hinting at what was coming in The Wizard of Oz, but it didn't feel like like when you were watching the Star Wars prequels, there was a sense of inevitability.
Sure.
Like, it's all, okay, we got to push towards this.
Yep.
Whereas this felt a lot more like its own story standing on its own.
Sure. Well, that's good.
And it was fun. It felt like movie magic, which was a big theme throughout the movie itself, which I thought played really well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I mean, I think...
Amazing, but it was good. I would recommend seeing it in the theater if you're going
to
see it.
Cool. That's good. I may have to free up some time, too, because I was interested to see it. And that's interesting that you say that, how much it stands on its own, because I think that is a real problem with making prequels. It's that you have to hit some things in order to connect it to the movie that it follows, or precedes rather, but there can be the like too much. Like I feel, and this is we're gonna call back an old friend for the podcast, but The Hobbit. My main thing about The Hobbit is that because there's, or not my main thing. Listen to that podcast with our friend Tom Watson for all of those main things. but one of the things that comes out of The Hobbit for me was, you know, they have to hit Gollum pretty hard, like to set him up in the, and I feel like while his story is there, I think because of the way they developed him in Lord of the Rings, they had to hit him a lot harder in The Hobbit than he was. I feel like he was in, I mean, I maybe I'm not recollecting the book as clearly as I should, but I don't remember him being that big of a deal in the books.
Well, the book in The Hobbit, we're going to keep this to a minimum because we have a whole freaking episode on it.
Right.
In The Hobbit, that book is not about the ring at all. The ring is just a ring that does magical things.
Yep, yep.
So to push the main story of the mountain. Like, it's not, that's where they had a whole freaking other thing, The Lord of the Rings. Read it, okay. Watch it.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, so I'm glad that that it's not too much of a, like, ha ha ha, this is going to be in Wizard of Oz right here. Oh, and this
and
too.
It wasn't super kidsy. I mean, there were a couple scenes that were kidsy, but I enjoyed it.
That makes me feel really good, too, because I feel like Wizard of Oz, as much of a kind of family movie as it is not super, like, family-friendly.
There's a lot of singing.
Yeah, well, singing aside, I feel like there's enough kind of dark elements in it that it would be interesting to develop, and it sounds like they developed them in Oz the Great and Powerful, so...
Yeah, and go and full disclosure, I'm not really a big fan of The Wizard of Oz. It's not in my all-time movies, but I really enjoyed this.
Cool. Excellent. Well, I will check that out. That sounds good. And I think we've filled another podcast of stuff.
Despite our best efforts. Or worst efforts.
Or just lazy efforts, something like that.
No, it wasn't laziness, it was busyness.
You're right, it was. It was busyness, and it was sitting in awful PowerPointness and all sorts of stuff like that. So
no death by PowerPoint, right, your congressman?
Yeah. So we'll be back next week with kind of more interesting stuff. Check out the logo when it goes up. Let us know where we should put it, and if you want to send us some art with it kind of snuck onto it, we would love it. So we'll put all that on the on our website real soon. notathingpodcast.com, of course.
Yep, subscribe on iTunes, tell your friends, spread the good word.
Right.
But
on.
You know, not like in a pushy missionary kind of way.
Excellent. Brendan, I'll talk to you next week.
Until next time.